Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster, only working from my home studio in New York, and there's a lot to get to today on the podcast. The Yankees are making their move. The Dodgers have punched back the last couple days. Some injury news. But first, Taylor, let's talk podcast numbers. Very excited about this.
Let's talk numbers, Buster. So the numbers are in. In the month of August, the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster only did 1 million downloads. And now I'm saying that I regret that I don't have an Austin Powers soundbite to play
drop.
There. But yeah, 1 million downloads. That is up from about 600,000 downloads in the month of August last year. So I mean, this is incredible news for the show. I mean, of course, everyone here at the company is very happy with it, but I am personally very excited, as I know you are, Buster. I mean, it's great growth of the podcast, and I think we can kind of attribute it to all those months without baseball, those 92 shows that we did where we had nothing to talk about. We did amazing interviews and kept this train rolling, and I think it finally paid dividends. So hats off to you, Buster. You're the one. You're the name on the show. I'm just the guy pressing the buttons behind the scenes. So good teamwork all around.
Well, and the listeners, you know, were so great with the feedback every day and the bleacher tweets. And yeah, as part of the note we got yesterday, the podcast numbers were up 30% year over year. Taylor, in your first year is producer, so way to go.
Not bad. Yeah, I appreciate it. I said all that and I neglected the listeners, because that's obviously who is fueling all this, and we are eternally grateful. And if you like this show, apparently lots of other people do, so tell a friend. You know, there's you know, we're about to get in the postseason. It's gonna be very exciting. I am pumped to cover the postseason. And we'll be churning those out earlier every day, since we're gonna have games all day long, at least to start.
Yeah, I mean, hearing the possibility might be doing two broadcasts in a given day. That'll be fun as we get going on that. Lots of injury news to get to today. Jacob DeGrom exited his start for the New York Mets last night with a hamstring spasm. You could see him when he got back to the dugout after a couple of rough innings. He was so upset. He, not only the Mets trying to make the playoffs, but, of course, he's making a bid for his third straight National League Cy Young Award, and this may wind up affecting him. Justin Verlander continues to make progress. He threw a 50-pitch bullpen warm-up session in a 24-pitch simulated game Wednesday at Minute Maid Park, and Astros manager Dusty Baker continues to speak optimistically about him possibly rejoining the rotation. I mentioned earlier this week, I'm hearing September 24th could be a date where they put him back into the regular season rotation and line him up for a start in the postseason. St. Louis, oh, one other. Speaking of the Astros, Lance McCullers yesterday came off the injured list, 7 scoreless innings, no walks, 8 strikeouts. And so we're going to talk a little bit about today about how the Astros would look if they get Verlander and Lance McCullers now back, how different their rotation would look, how dangerous would they be. St. Louis Cardinals manager Mike Schilt was suspended for 1 game after a bench-clearing fracas the other day. This was after catcher Yadi Molina was hit on the wrist by a Ryan Braun swing. We've been talking about the Padres challenging the Dodgers this week. The Padres won on Monday. The Dodgers came back on Tuesday. And the final game of the series was yesterday. A.J. Pollock got the Dodgers going.
On a 2-0, he drives the ball in the air to right center field. Grisham's going back, and Pollock's leaving the yard. Breezing by the palm tree in right center field. Solo home run gives the Dodgers the game's first run. Number 11 of the season for A.J. Pollock.
That was Joe Davis on the Dodgers television network. And this was the call in the bottom of the ninth inning with the Dodgers leading 7-5.
He swings and pops it. Foul to the right. And underneath it is Muncy, and the Dodgers win it. So with that, the Dodgers have now clinched a playoff spot in the postseason. First team to do that.
That from Charlie Steiner, AM 570 LA Sports. Some of the Dodger players talked afterward about how they were surprised at that news. Well, here come the Yankees. A week ago, we were wondering if they were in trouble, and they are now on an absolute roll with a lot of their stars back in the lineup. DJ LeMahieu is streaking as we go down the stretch.
Another fly ball, deep right field. Biggio back, still back. See ya! Another home run for LeMahieu. It is a two-run blast. And the Yankees are going downtown on this Wednesday in the Bronx at 6-0 Bombers.
Luke Voit was part of the onslaught.
High fly ball. Gurriel back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya. A long home run for Voit. His 19th of the year. A three-run shot. It is 11-1 Yankees.
Michael Kay on the Yes Network. But the star of the night was the guy who has become the personal catcher for the best pitcher on the Yankees, Gerrit Cole.
And the young right-hander Hector Perez deals, swung on and hit in the air to right. And that ball is gone into the right field seats. Over the auxiliary scoreboard, the seventh home run of the year and the third home run of the game for Higashioka, the home run stroker, and getting Higgy with it.
John Sterling on WFAN at the end of the night after the Yankees beat the Blue Jays 13-2, New York now a game and a half ahead of Toronto. The Yankees would be the number five seed as of today. They are three games behind the Rays at the top of the American League East. The Cubs are firmly in control of the National League Central. They beat the Indians again, and Javier Baez seems to be getting hot at exactly the right time.
And the 0-2 pitch. Baez lines one. Base hit. Cubs win. Down the left field line. A breaking ball. He waited back just long enough and lined it over the head of Ramirez. The Cubs win the ball game.
John Lester pitched for the Cubs, and he spoke afterward about how emotional it was to pitch in Wrigley Field. It might be his last start as a Cub in Wrigley Field. He has been worth every nickel since signing that six-year, $155 million deal with the Cubs after the 2014 season. The Twins and the White Sox, the final game of that series, Byron Buxton had another moment.
And he swings at that one. Hits it high in the air, center field. Might have a chance. Robert jumps up. It's gone. A two-run homer for Byron Buxton, and the Twins like that lead 3-0.
That from Dan Gladden on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Oakland won yesterday, and in the midst of that, a crazy play by Vanderbilt grad Tony Kemp.
Bounces one, and Fuentes is going to throw toward third. His throw is high, and now in a rundown is Kemp. And they're going to tag Marcus Semien. He's out. The throw to the plate, and Kemp is safe. Unbelievable. So Marcus Semien was out as Marcus trying to get to third. So it was almost a disaster for the A's.
Well, this is a ridiculous play by Nolan Arenado. Why? First of all, he gets the throw off, and now he's got Walters. But he sees Semien. He's going to tag him and now try to get Kemp at home, which they had. But Tony Kemp, an incredible athletic move.
Yeah, it was kind of a ninja move there, Taylor. What'd you think?
Yeah, a lot of jumping around, back and forth, kind of like Prosvar the other night, grabbing home just by his fingertips. It was pretty nifty. They say Kemp kind of weird on the broadcast there. I noticed that as well. Kemp.
I didn't Kemp. Notice that. No, I have to listen for that again. Yeah, it was like a Matrix type play. Very cool by Tony Kemp. Before we get ahead and talk about some of the issues of the day, check out the latest episode of the Woj Pod. Denver Nuggets President of Baseball Operations Tim Connelly joins Woj to discuss the Nuggets' wild ride to the Western Conference Finals, constructing the best young roster in the league, resisting trading Jamal Murray for an established veteran, fighting self-doubt as a young GM, turning down offers to leave Denver, and much more. You can listen to the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Eduardo Perez is an ESPN analyst, and he played 13 years in the big leagues. And Eduardo, one of the cool things that I learned about this year was that all these jerseys you are collecting, it's been brought up on the KBO broadcast. Can you just give us some details on that? You know, and I was surprised that a lot of these are from this year, which raises the question, like, in your whole career, how many jerseys do you actually own?
Not a lot. That's the funny part. You know, I never really collected jerseys or anything from a busker. And, but this year, this season, it's just different. We're at home. We're at the studio. We're not only are we the analysts, but we also do our own makeup. We also do our own settings. We prepare the backdrop. My wife is an integral part of it also. And, I'm fortunate also that, you know, Fanatics has been, has said, yeah, you know, we're trying to promote the game any which way we can. So all of a sudden, here comes three boxes full of jerseys, and they're this year's jerseys, and it's awesome to have. So what I try to do is every game that if I'm doing, let's say yesterday I did the Phillies, Mets game. Well, let's put in all their jerseys and all their alternate jerseys and everything, and put it in the backdrop, any character that we can. We got some pretty cool characters, little Baby Yodas all over the place because my wife loves Baby Yoda. So they had the accent somewhere here and there. And I think as the season goes on and in the playoffs, it could even be a lot more fun to see what I do back there.
Tell me, what was the jersey that you got you were most excited to see?
The baby blues are awesome. if you look at the Toronto Blue Jays baby blue one, that's a great one. You know, the Kansas City Royals have them too, and so do the Phillies. I can go down the list of Cardinals. You know, but the Brewers uniforms, they have their colors, the yellow with that dark navy type blue on it. They do really well. The Padres uniforms are sick. The letterings, the fonts are huge. So that's a really cool one. But I think the one I got the most emotional was when it was Clemente for the Clemente Day. We were able to get that jersey also. So now I have the 21, and it will probably be around most of this season in the backdrop. Somewhere that 21 will definitely be present. It is. It's exciting to have because. It's a well-deserved thing that, and we've seen so many ex-players and so many players use the retire 21. And having been raised in Puerto Rico, having played in Ciudad Deportiva Roberto Clemente, Sports City Roberto Clemente, in Carolina, growing up, and now in the conditions that it is in, we need to bring that 21 to the forefront again to see if Major League Baseball continues his efforts, especially after. Doña Vera Clemente, the viuda of Roberto Clemente, the widow of Roberto Clemente, did so much for him. Even 48 years after his death, we still have to keep his name going.
I would agree. And I do think that we're moving toward that day when they retire 21 in perpetuity, the way that they did with Jackie Robinson's 42. We'll see about that. Yesterday, the Padres lose again to the Dodgers. Fernando Tatis Jr., is not having a good September. And I got to tell you, Eduardo, and Taylor backed me up on this, like early in September, I basically, when we talked about the National League MVP race, was like, nah, it's over. Like Tatis Jr.'s, it's basically his to win. The only way that he could possibly lose now is with a complete collapse. Well, you know what? There's been a complete collapse. I was looking at Fangraphs this morning. They got wins above replacement. Freddie Freeman is now tied with Tatis Jr. in wins above replacement at 2.9. Mookie Betts is at 2.5. Manny Machado, 2.4. Trey Turner, Mike Yastrzemski, Trevor Story, Michael Conforto follow after that. Tatis Jr. in September, 184 average, 293 on base. He's got a 640 OPS. His OPS overall has dropped almost 100 points since the beginning of September. It surprises me because he was so dominant for so long. At this moment, who do you think you would vote for if you had a vote?
Well, that's really interesting, and that's what I was always telling people. I was like, hold on, wait a second. Everybody's like, this is the best player in the game. I'm like, it was only a month, you know, that he was doing it. And let's not forget an entire season. We're looking at a six-month process of doing it this year to sprint. And it's just like the records where we see a good week, we can also see a bad week, and it can turn on you in a hurry. And right now I see Mookie Betts continuing to, since he was put in that leadoff spot, you look at the OPS, right there over 900 in the high 900s. You look at the model of work that he's done offensively, defensively, on the bases. He's got to be at the top. Freddie Freeman, you're saying that you're also bringing that to the forefront. I think that was the biggest question I was having with Freddie Freeman this year is, who are they going to have behind him? And is Marcell Ozuna going to be the guy that can protect them? Well, Marcell Ozuna got hot. And when he got hot, it allowed Freddie Freeman to relax and say, okay, I can pick my spots because they're going to still pitch to me. Even though at the beginning of the season, we saw that they were pitching around him until Marcell turned it around and made teams pay. And that's one really interesting guy and situation right there in Atlanta, because they're pitching since Mike Soroka went down. You got Fried on the IL. Albies and Acuna went on the IL. They're both back, but he's been the mainstay ever since he had tested positive early on in the season for COVID. He said, I'm present. Let's go. Let's get this thing done. And he's shown why he's one of the elite players. Paul Goldschmidt is another name you got to take in consideration, especially with what has gone on in St. Louis.
It sounds like then you think that Mookie Betts will eventually emerge as we come down the stretch then.
I do. I mean, again, it's a deep team over there. But, you know, when Cody Bellinger started off cold, Mookie Betts has been there since day one. He's been consistent. It's nothing you look at and you're like, really? What has he really done that's spectacular, that's must watch? The consistency, the model of work right now for him has been pretty special.
All right. Among the National League teams, the three division leaders at this point seem fairly sturdy, especially after the Dodgers take two or three from the Padres. These are the teams at this point, according to Fangraphs, with the highest percentage chances for being the wild card teams. You got the Marlins at 78%, Phillies and Cardinals at 68%, Giants at 60%, Reds at 52%, Brewers 44%. Then you drop down to the Mets and Rockies, 19 and 12%. Among those teams, Marlins, Phillies, Cardinals, Giants, Reds, Brewers, Mets, Rockies, which of those teams in your eyes is the most dangerous? Because I have a strong feeling about this. Among those teams, which is the most dangerous?
Oh, wow. If Sonny Gray would have been okay, I would have said Cincinnati. Okay, that's where I would have gone because of their depth. I think, you know, you have a Bauer, Sonny Gray situation. But I think what you have to take in consideration now, and a lot of teams didn't know this, is the three consecutive days of playing in the wild card. You have to have that depth. You have to have a pretty strong bullpen for this type of playoff scenario. And I say don't fall asleep on the Miami Marlins. I love the fact that they have the way Rodgers has pitched, the way Alcantara has come back from his COVID situation. And then you have Sixto Sanchez also in the mix with the bullpen, with the arms that they've had. And then they had that thing, why not us? They had that chip on their shoulder. They went, most of them went down. A lot of players testing positive for COVID. They've gotten their feet wet. They've been the team that was supposed to finish last in their division. They were the team that was supposed to not make it because of the coronavirus situation. And yet they continue to play well. Rojas has done a fantastic job at shortstop, even coming back from the COVID situation. They got Starling Marte. Just don't fall asleep on a team that has finished in the past twice in the has made the playoffs twice as a wild card team. And oh, by the way, Buster, they won it both times in 97 and in 03.
Managers, as you know, Eduardo, do not like dealing with those personal catcher situations because it makes for some uncomfortable conversations. But the Yankees are now in that place. Garrett Cole, his last three starts, Kyle Higashioka, in those three starts, 20 innings, 9 hits allowed, and 2 earned runs for Garrett Cole. And it reminded me of that time when the Dodgers broke apart Clayton Kershaw and A.J. Ellis, who'd been his personal catcher for so many years. And I talked to a GM of another team who was kind of befuddled by that because his line to me was, you know what, if Clayton Kershaw liked pitching to his uncle, I'd let him do that. And I feel the same way with Garrett Cole. Like, it's going to be a topic of conversation because Gary Sanchez is the number one guy there. They've talked about him being the number one guy, but you paid all that money to have Garrett Cole at the front end of your rotation. And Garrett Cole has been nothing but gracious in talking about Gary Sanchez. But the bottom line is, to me, if this makes him better, then go with it.
No, you're right. And let's not forget Eduardo Perez catching to Greg Maddux also. I mean, there's many ways of looking at this, and you're on the money. I think, especially with the situation that we've seen here with the sprint, and oh, by the way, when he hits 3 home runs in a game, I'm not taking him out of the lineup the next day. And I know Gary Sanchez has gotten his opportunities this year, but he's been pretty lost at the plate, even though in the last game he had a home run. He went 1-for-4 on that last game he played, but you got Stanton back on the DH situation. You got Judge played yesterday right field. You got Urshela at third base. Your big boys are now getting back into that lineup from the IL. And what you have to do now is win games. This isn't so much anymore about what have you done for me in the past. This is the stretch drive. This is the importance. This last week is like going into September 1st right now, up a game in your division or down 2 games in the division to the Toronto Blue Jays. It can turn in a hurry to the Tampa Bay Rays, excuse me. It can turn in a hurry. And that's why you have to play the guys that are producing. We're seeing it with the New York Mets. They're trying to get back into it. Where's Pete Alonso? He's on the bench. He's not playing. They're going with a hot hand, Dominic Smith. So the same thing happens when you have a battery mate of Kyle Higashioka and Garrett Cole, and they're doing well. He's putting down the numbers and he's blocking everything. And yes, again, 3 jacks. He's going to catch Garrett Cole. Makes an easy decision for Booney.
So yesterday we had Carl Ravitch on the podcast. I wanted to listen to your broadcast last night, but I live in the New York area, so the game was blocked out. That was kind of a bummer. But I was assuming that as you talked through that game, the conversation came up about what's going to happen next for the Mets with new ownership, Steve Cohen, who's going to become the richest owner of baseball. And Rabbi actually
didn't come up, but I'm curious to find out.
Okay.
Let's go for it.
So Rabbi had this really interesting idea yesterday when I posed the question, what advice would you give to Steve Cohen? And he said, you know what I would do? I would call Brian Cashman and do whatever it takes to get the general manager who has succeeded in New York for 23 years. So right away, attack the crosstown rival and try to get Brian Cashman over to your franchise. And I hadn't heard that. And then I thought about it more afterward. And you know, there's actually an avenue through which the Mets could do that. And here's what it is. In all the time that Brian's been an executive with the Yankees, his title has never changed. He's always been a general manager. Well, you know what?
Right.
The Mets could call over to the Yankees and say, we want to make Brian Cashman the president of the Mets or the president of baseball ops or whatever it is. Yep. And that would be an interesting. And I got to tell you, the more that I thought about it, boy, that would be a lightning strike right out of the gate.
Yeah, that would be. And I had not heard your conversation with Carl. That did not come up, but that's exactly where I would have gone with it. I would pay Brian Cashman. I would say, hey, just like Andrew Friedman, just like Mike Shapiro with the Toronto Blue Jays, you want them? This is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get me that title, President of Baseball Operations, move on forward, and then you're going to have to pay me a pretty penny. The success that he has had in the city, and we all know one thing about Steve Cohen, he's got deep pockets. He needs baseball people there right away. He needs that credibility. The money, it's not the only credibility factor. You have to have the knowledge, the experience of New York. I'm 100% with Carl, and I would not be surprised one bit if that happens at all. And we've seen in the New York Post, we've seen in the front where they've already said he's going to make an impact. And he's done it in the business world, and I have a feeling he's going to do it in this type of business. This time it's going to be the baseball business world.
All right, sir. Always good to talk to you, Eduardo. Thanks for doing this.
You got it, Buster.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Jason Benetti is the play-by-play man for ESPN and for the Chicago White Sox. And Jason, quite simply, White Sox, the best team in the American League right now, because that's what I'm hearing from evaluators around the sport.
Buster, it's outrageous what some of these guys have done to help build what feels like the deepest lineup in baseball. And we knew that there'd be thunder offensively, but the pitching staff over the span of 22-6, as we talk right now, has been the best in baseball as well, which, you know, to be honest, with some of the names in the rotation that people don't know, that's pretty surprising too.
Who do you think would be the American League team that's the biggest threat to them?
You know what? I think the Tampa Bay Rays understand strategy and understand playing angles. I mean, we both were there at the wild card game last year in Oakland, and Tampa Bay built a lineup specifically for Sean Manaea. And so I think Tampa Bay's smarts is one thing, but I also think, like, you and I were talking about this on KBO the other day, that the Yankees very probably are still not going to win the AL East, but they look real terrifying right now. I don't think anybody wants to play the Yankees at this moment.
No, especially with Gerrit Cole seemingly getting on a roll. You know, that completely alters the look of them. In your eyes right now, who's the American League MVP?
That is such a tough question. It is, and it's really ridiculous for White Sox fans to think about the fact that two of their guys are leading candidates for MVP for the American League. I think Tim Anderson, even though he missed 10 games, I think Tim Anderson is probably the guy. He's had zero hits twice in September. He's had at least three hits five times in September. He's played a much better defensive shortstop this year. I would say, and you look at, if you look at the Sox offensive numbers when Tim Anderson scores a run, just one singular run, I would say he has been the guy. And if you talk about most valuable, he's been that guy who's infused energy into this team really since what happened with the dust up with Brad Keller in Kansas City last year. He has just become this self-actualized version of himself that's awesome to watch on a nightly basis.
I tell you what, his trajectory is fascinating to me because, you know, and I'm sure you do the same thing with me. When you hear about a young player who's successful in the minor leagues, the first numbers that I always look at are walks and strikeouts, because then you get a sense, okay, how aggressive is this guy? You know, what's his level of patience? And Tim Anderson at age 25 in the big leagues, 30 walks, 149 strikeouts with 240 batting average, 281 on base. guys like that, I got to tell you, you know, typically I look at those numbers and go, okay, he is what he is. He swings a lot. He's never going to be disciplined enough to necessarily be a great player. He's not really going to give himself a chance. And yet he's gotten better and better and better. And maybe that, you know, it absolutely fits his history. You know, he was not some superstar prospect in high school. He got better and he got better and he got better. And that seems to be what he's doing in the big leagues. Again, hitting .373 with a .410 on base percentage this year.
Buster, I had a conversation with Tim early April last year, and he talked me through the nuances of what he learned in the offseason about how to watch video and how to attack a pitcher. And he said this the other day, and it's 100% true in my experience with him. He is obsessed with getting better on a daily basis. He learned that having a routine is one thing, but having an obsessive routine is another. You watch him playing shortstop now. He's creeping behind runners at second base. He's climbing in the batter's box when he needs to. He had a swing the other day that he adjusted and sort of straightened out his body in order to hit a high pitch in the zone. He told us in a post-game interview the other day on our telecast with the White Sox that he felt like he was seeing a lot more two-seamers, and so he's had to adjust to hit the ball to right field. And most of his hits recently have come to right field off two-seamers. The guy is a really smart baseball guy, and I think it's a fantastic story for young people out there, because you know how it works quite often. When you have a young player who was a basketball player who happens to be a black player, you hear people say he's toolsy, he's athletic, you know, maybe he'll be a center fielder, that sort of thing. All the narrative that comes along with that, that scouts fight nowadays with the understanding of what race means and things like that. Tim Anderson is one of the most cerebral baseball players out there, and I don't think anybody would have dared give him the credit to have the chance to do that in his major league career. And I got to say, it is chalk one up for crazy work on yourself and self-improvement that it's really fun to watch.
You know what's interesting, too? I was looking at this. A lot of times when you see improvement in young players these days, the first thing, your first instinct is that they've gone the launch angle route, that they, you know, have gone and found a hitting guru and they're just focused on getting the ball in the air. Well, his ground ball rate is at the highest of his career, 2.25-1, which is an extraordinarily high number. And his hard hit rate is also at its highest, 39.4% in his career. And so I suspect, and I covered Tony Gwynn for 3 years. I could just imagine Tony going, yep, just hit the ball hard. Doesn't matter. You hit it on the ground, hit it in the air, just hit the ball hard, because that seems to be working for him.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. I was just looking at this last night after the night game into the day game today. The Sox are tied for 7th in ground ball rate offensively in baseball. So it's pervasive across the team that the best home run hitting team in baseball also hits a bunch of ground balls. And I think the answer is exactly what you said. It's hit the ball hard wherever it goes. But then the other component to that is, if somebody makes a really good pitch on you, you have a couple choices. It's yep. Strike out, take it, or really try to hit it hard. And I think that has swept over the White Sox. And I think Frank Menachino deserves a lot of credit. I had heard a lot of great things about him in AAA from guys coming up and saying, hey, I really locked in with him. And I think his understanding of just how to hit the ball hard has gone through the Sox.
It certainly reflected in how Tim Anderson's playing this year. All right, Jason, good to talk with you. I'm sure I'll be talking with you soon.
Thanks, Buster.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for Thursday. First up, Simon Harrow at Simon JH writes in, hi, Buster. When MLB and the players negotiate, is there anyone at the table who represents the integrity of the game? It always seems to be about money only. Keep expanding the playoffs for 2021 means most of the regular season is pointless. Thanks, Simon in Hong Kong. Thanks for listening on the other side of the planet, Simon.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Simon. Look, what you raised is something in hearing a lot from executives at the team level, where they're like, okay, for 2020 in this weird year and a short season, they get it. But the idea of having 16 teams in the playoffs next year and not really having a big reward for winning a division during the year, they are very much against that. And it'll be very interesting as we move forward if that conversation manifests, because there was a lot of pushback. And there's a lot of reason why the players should be pushing back, because as I was hearing yesterday, there's not a lot of incentive for teams to try to get better. You know, we saw that at the trade deadline. The Padres were active. The Reds were active to some point. But a lot of teams didn't actually go out and make big moves. And in the same token, for the same reason, this winter, if you go into 2021 believing that, hey, it's a 16 team playoff field, and there's not a lot we need to do to necessarily get better or to separate ourselves or to give ourselves a chance at a playoff spot, you're not going to be aggressive. And that has some agents concerned as well.
Interesting point. Next up, we got Ray Lewis at Ray_Lewis67 writes in, hey, Buster, lots of talk about Real Muto for the offseason, but how about James McCann? What do you expect his market to be this winter?
He's putting himself in a good position. 317 average, 6 homers, 376 on base percentage. We've been talking about JT. You know, maybe the Mets would get involved, maybe the Phillies, maybe the Yankees. James McCann is going to do well. He's not going to be the primary focus of the catching market. JT will. But McCann set himself up to be a strong number two.
And last one for today, John Buell writes in at JBuell19. Who's the most surprising team this season? Maybe the White Sox or Padres in contention for one seeds, Marlins or Giants in the playoff hunt, or Brewers or Nationals so far back, another team maybe? What do you think? Who's the biggest surprise for you this season?
Yeah, John, I'm not really surprised that the Nationals took a step back, because we've seen the hangover effect. And when Strasburg goes down, Rendon leaves as a free agent, it's not close to being the same type of roster. For me, no question, the Marlins. You know, it's a young team. They don't have a lot of proven guys. And then they had that outbreak. They were the first team to be sidelined for a while. And so the fact that they're in this position, that to me is the biggest surprise. What about for you, Taylor?
I think I'm going to go Marlins too, especially with the emergence of Sixto Sanchez. He's been awesome to watch. I know it's only five, six games in or whatever, but he looks like he might be a gem for them for a long time to come. That does it for Bleacher Tweets, everyone. Thanks for writing in. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Thanks to everyone who's listened throughout the entire season, going all the way back to February throughout the layoff. We really appreciate it. And if you have not yet, please subscribe to, rate, and review this podcast wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
That's it for today. My thanks to Eduardo, to Jason, to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, don't forget to listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Check out all podcasts at ESPN.com/podcenter. Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.